We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Here's another My Music for you, and this one comes from the magnificent Scottish capital of Edinburgh. In fact, we're surrounded by musical people because we've dead-heated with the famous international festival here in Edinburgh. This BBC studio, fine one it is too, was formerly the Queen's Hall, and they tell me that Mark Twain and Charles Dickens appeared here, among others at one time or another. Now we have with us four noted music lovers by name: John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, the first question falls to you. It's a martial theme that someone or other composed for a film. John, the Rustaveli Company from the USSR is presenting here in Edinburgh its production of which play?
Richard.
Yes. Pick a number.
Third.
Yes, Richard the Third. That was, in fact, music written for Richard the Third, the film, by...
Yes, it's William Walton.
Yes.
I'm glad you told me, because I couldn't remember which one it was. I knew it wasn't Hank Sink, though.
No, that's right. No, it's the main theme from the main title, as it were, of Richard the Third. Right, Frank. Your turn now. Do you recognise, please, this sprightly flautist?
Company with half the world, I only know one flautist. Yes. So with a bit of luck, it's James Gold.
Yes, that's right. Who's playing here with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra. For the other half, Mark...
There's a good orchestra.
Yes. For the other half, Mark, Frank, who composed that music?
It was an American gentleman from the Danube Basin or somewhere. It's a violinist called Kreisler.
Yes. A listener in Caton, Lancashire, Mrs. Kathleen Kent, went into her local record store, she told me, for an LP by Kreisler. There were two young girls serving there, and she said, "Have you anything by Kreisler?" And these two girls looked at one another and giggled, and one of them, absolutely oozing superiority, said, "Madam, Kreisler is a make of motor car."
Well done.
Ian, your question sounds very tough, but it's not really. Listen to one verse of a song and then tell me, please, the places of birth of the singer, the composer and the poet, respectively.
Give to me the life I love, let the life go by me. Give the jolly heaven above and the byway nigh me. Bed in the bush with stars to see. Red I dip into the river. There's the life for a man like me. There's the life forever.
Singer, composer, poet. Birthplace.
That's Peter Dawson.
Yes.
He was born in Australia.
Yes, ever-loving Adelaide. That's right.
Yes, I didn't know that. The composer is Ralph Vaughan Williams.
Yes, born in...
Who was born in Gloucestershire.
Yes, down Ampney. We're doing fine. Mm. And the poet.
It's Robert Louis Stevenson. And the song is called The Vagabond.
Yes.
From the Songs of Travel.
Yes, Robert Louis Stevenson, RLS, born in Edinburgh. Yes.
I don't really deserve a clap because I do sing that sometimes myself, so if I didn't know the details, I would be in trouble.
Dennis, the Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet are doing here at the Festival of Ballet with the same title as this piece of ragtime. Dennis?
No. Scott Joplin is a Scott, yes, Joplin. Scott Joplin. Right. Something syncopation.
Yes, that's right. Half a mark, I think. No, new. Elite Syncopations. Oh. Elite Syncopations by Scott Joplin. Recording there by Itzhak Perlman and Andre Previn on the piano. Miscellaneous questions about music, of course. John, here's a slightly obscure composer, at least nowadays. He wrote a song cycle called Maud, a Shropshire Lad cycle, and a piece called Normandy for piano and orchestra. British. Knighted, he lived from 1863 to 1937. Can you come up with his name?
Somerville.
Yes, Sir Arthur Somerville, born in Windermere. Frank, you may, or then again, you may not. But I think may, on the other hand, might not, but I think you may, have heard of Janáček's Glagolitic Mass. What is Glagolitic?
Well,
John knows,
you know,
the mass.
Stalagmites and yeah, stalactites go up,
yes,
and down.
Yes.
Well, glagolites go sideways. And in this mass, the choir, instead of singing, standing or sitting, lie across the mezzo chords. They had to be stacked in layers because there wasn't much width found upon by the early church. And it, so they don't really play it much now.
I'm going to ask lady sitting on the end of the front row if that is or is not worth half a mark. Say yes. Yes, it is. Of course it is. In case you should want to know, it's a dull answer. Glagolitic is a form of script used in early Slavonic writing. It was superseded by the Cyrillic alphabet, invented by a gentleman I always think was so nice, Saint Cyril. Very cheering to know there was a Saint Cyril, I always think. Ian, we come to the river. Whose music?
The only thing I can think of in that connection was my father once telling me in his youth in Scotland going to a temperance service, and the whoever it was who was taking it had said, "Dearly beloved, the great evil in life is the demon drink. And it would be better if all alcoholic beverages were poured into the waters. And we shall now sing hymn 345, Shall We Gather at the River?"
Well, I will now ask the lady on the other side of the aisle in the front row if that's worth half a mark, is it?
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yes, it is.
We Come to the River, Ian, is an opera by Hans Werner Henze, with libretto by Edward Bond, performed at Covent Garden in 1976. Dennis, the early works of Verdi were enthusiastically applauded in Italy, but for a non-musical reason. Why should people have wanted to cheer in those days at the very mention of Verdi's name?
I would say that his early musical works coincided with the invention of tagliatelle, and they applauded through misapprehension.
Yes. I'm going to ask the gentleman in the back row if that's worth half a mark.
You're waking everybody up.
Yes, he says it's worth half a mark. Right. Now, this is the interesting answer. Verdi's initials formed the slogan of the Risorgimento, Vittorio Emanuele Re d'Italia. It was a way of putting one over on the Austrian censorship. In order to launch the next round of questions, I'm going to ask you, John, to listen to the closing chords, or a few seconds anyway, of a record, and tell me who you think the conductor might have been.
Thank you.
Bernstein.
Who was conducting that lash-up? Bernstein, you think? It's a fair guess. You know the piece, do you?
It's the Cuban Overture.
Yes, it's the Cuban Overture. It sounded terribly like Stan Kenton.
Yes, I thought.
I saw Frank was mouthing Stan Kenton. The conductor on that recording was not Leonard Bernstein, though. It was Sir Adrian Boult, who must have stood there in alarm as that noise was going on around him. I think you must have the mark because you recognised the work there. This is, in fact, a round of questions concerning George Gershwin, who wrote that music. Frank, a simple enough two-part question. What is the title of this Gershwin song? I want it correctly, please. And who's the pianist playing it?
Interesting first question there. So what could it be? I think if we put an O in front of it, O, comma, Lady Be Good.
Yes, O, comma, Lady Be Good is the title of the song. Lady Be Good, the title of the show. Yeah, yes.
I deduced that.
Yeah.
Didn't know it. And it played, I think, yes, I know, it's Count Basie.
Yes, Count Basie. Nobody ever made a world reputation by playing less notes. A very, very pleasing characteristic. Count Basie it was. Ian, I'm going to play you one note from a famous vocal recording of I Got Rhythm for you to identify the singer, please.
Yeah, that splendid lady with the absolute clarity of diction and everything else, Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman, who sang it in the original Broadway production, actually. Although, in those, I was rather disappointed. When I got hold of that recording, which was made within fairly recent decades, I found she only held the note there for four bars or so. But in the original production, I'm told, she sang that note throughout the entire chorus.
Mm.
Never give up. That's our Ethel. Dennis, the Gershwin brothers took enormous care over the verses of their songs as well as the choruses. Here's the last couplet from a Gershwin verse. The question is, what's the next line, please?
Though these lips have made slips, it was never really serious. Who'd have thought I'd be brought to a state that's so
I have cried salty tears. Where have you been all these years?
Yes. Doesn't you tell me to?
How long has this been going on?
How long has this been going on is right from the show, Rosalie. That was very nice. Just in case you couldn't make out the notes of the song, here's the way Ella Fitzgerald continues it. In tribute to our Scottish hosts, John, a good deal of Scots traditional music is pentatonic, in other words, built from the five-note scale, as it were, C, D, E, G, A, like this, and so on. I'm going to play you, John, in single notes on the piano, a very familiar Scots song, and ask you to give a sharp cry if I should play a note which is not, repeat, not, in the pentatonic scale. Ready? Right, here we go. The one note in that song that isn't in the pentatonic scale is just coming up now. It's this one, that one. No marks, John.
Sorry.
What a lovely piece of piano playing.
No, what is it? Super, super. Frank, I quote from an epistolatory novel published 220 years ago. In Edinburgh, says the author, every man you meet plays on the flute, the violin, or the violoncello. Any idea of the book or the author's name?
J. chap who wrote it was called Matthew Bramble. The book is called The Expedition of Humphrey Clinker.
Well,
written by Smollett.
Yeah, written by Smollett. That's God. He's right.
Well, some four people wrote letters, and that's what one I think was in Matthew Bramble's, because for work, I read it about 3 weeks ago.
Just one of those happy coincidences.
Pure chance. Pure chance. Called A Tour Through England and Scotland. Ian, here's the singer Bill McHugh.
These are my mountains, and I'm going home. For fame and for fortune, I wander the earth, and now I've come back to this land.
Ian, Scotland is not quite the land of your birth, but it is the land of your forefathers and of your heart, I know. So they are your mountains. Can you then please name in order the three highest peaks in Scotland?
That's not news, that's geography.
Yes. Well, somebody just said
I don't think even my dear friend Bill McHugh could do that. Well, I know the highest peak is Ben Nevis.
Thank you.
But then whoever remembers the runner-up?
Ben McDewey. On the Aberdeen-Banff border. Mm-hmm. And anybody know the third one? They don't, do they? Bray Riach. Aberdeen-Inverness. It's about 100 feet shorter. Does Ian get the mark, or does he not?
And a small tin of toffees.
Yes.
Well, I knew it wasn't the Cullen bin, anyway.
Dennis, here's another Scots singer, a great favourite in his day, and I imagine a favourite with you, especially because he has a habit, which you share, of changing octave suddenly when singing a song. This really is, I think, the most extraordinary popular singing I think I've ever heard in the respect of that, well, in that particular respect. Listen anyway, Dennis, and then tell us his name.
Good night, Vienna. Used to be of a million melodies. My heart's a thrilling to the strains that you play from dawn till the day.
You knew that. You've heard that record before.
Yes,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
I've got that. That's, and also Elsie Randolph sung it and they sing, yes. Isn't it romantic? So, yeah, that's, of course, Jack Buchanan, who I believe was born not very far from here.
I think so, yes. Yeah. Yeah. What on earth his arranger was doing at the time, other than sleeping? I really don't know. It didn't have to be in that key. It could have been in any key that suited him.
I don't think he was in that key. I think it was only on that recording that you'll hear him on that key. It was a very unfortunate LP that they issued, didn't it?
He does the same thing in the middle bit as well, isn't he?
Enchanted city of Columbine and Kiel. We know the magic of your spell.
Yes. Well, so much for Jack Buchanan singing.
It's rather like when I sometimes go to sing with a brass band and you sing something like The Trumpeter by J. Ellie Dix, because you always have to sing that because most brass bands have the music for it. But generally speaking, not in my key. And one has the most terrible experiences of going along and you're singing this thing and like Jack Buchanan can't get up to it, and afterwards they say, we're in trouble. And I say, well, yes, it's not the right key for me. And they say, funny, didn't give Kenneth McKellar any trouble.
Four song sheets are at this very moment being handed out to our four contestants, which they will then render. I think that's the word I want. The singing order being first John, then Frank, then Dennis, and finally Ian. John, the tango passage from Sir Michael Tippett's A Child of Our Time begins, I have no money for my bread. Seems just right, musically speaking, for your voice. I'll give you Tippett's one bar of tango introduction.
Okay.
I have no money for my bread. I have no gift for my bread. frustration as between the hammer and the anvil. I am caught between my desires and their frustrations as between the hammer and the anvil. How can I grow to a man's stature?
Super
singing, John. Yes, yeah. Super singing. Let no one write and ask me in future if these songs are rehearsed. Let no one ask that again. Frank, a poignant song from you, beginning "If Those Lips" and ending.
Oh, yes, very sad. It's a
beautiful
chap.
Golden.
Yes. A very rich chap who's singing to a picture of his wife, and the lyric doesn't actually say whether she's dead or whether she's a bolter, but she's missing.
Yes.
If those lips could only speak, if those eyes could only see, if those beautiful golden tresses were in reality, could I only take your hand as I did when you took my name? But you're only a beautiful picture in a beautiful golden frame.
In the official Edinburgh Festival brochure, it doesn't actually mention that Dennis Norden is going to sing Looking at the World Through Rose-Coloured Glasses, but he is.
And it's very difficult, and it's very likely I'll do some Jack Buchanan's while we're in the middle. Looking at the world through rose-coloured glasses, everything is rosy now. Looking at the world and everything that passes seems a rosy hue somehow. Why do I feel...
Seen a Jack Buchanan impersonation act.
I don't think in the city of his birth or near enough his birth we should inflict any more changes of key. Shut up!
Ian, give our Scots hosts a final bow of gratitude for welcoming us as you sing "O Gin I Were a Baron's Heir."
Just before I sing it, an Edinburgh festival many, many, many years ago, a lady went up to the box office at the King's Theatre and said, "Can you tell me who is singing in the opera tonight?" And the box office manager said, "Yes, madam, it's Marina de Gabarain, Juan Oncina, Sesto Bruscantini, and Ian Wallace." She said, "Ian Wallace?" He said, "Well, madam, this is an international festival."
O gin I were a baron's heir, and could upbraid with gems your hair, and mark ye braw as ye are fair, lassie, wad ye lure me, and could attack ye to the tune, and show ye prospects money and dame, and busk ye fine in silk and goon, lassie, wad ye lure me. And when the fair moon glistens o'er wee but beeld and heather moor, will ye nae greet that we're sae poor, lassie, for a loo-ee? For I te offerì, né gaud fremai, né perl fresì. Nor am a comoide but a
may I say how much we've enjoyed our visit north of the border? And in case you're wondering, it's been a victory this week for nobody. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.